Your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter number 46. Psalms chapter 46. We'll read responsively verses 1 through 4, and then in unison we'll read verse number 11 of Psalms 46. Psalms chapter number 46, beginning in verse 1 through 4, read. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not be feared, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah.
There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
In unison, verse 11,
the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the time we're able to hear the Word of God preached, Father. Lord, I pray that you'll be with our preacher, Lord. Fill him with your power, fill him with your spirit, Lord, and give him strength as he goes through the message, Father. I pray you just be with him, help him, Father. Give us a great time in your house tonight, this morning, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Brother Dorsey. Don't worry, Brother Dorsey is just grabbing a bottle of water for me. He is not getting in trouble yet. All right. If you'll listen to me, and I hate saying this, but you know, we live in such a different generation, but I need everybody to kind of stay put, stay in your place, unless it's an emergency. An emergency doesn't mean you got an urge just to get up and walk. And if you do, do me a favor, come back in and stay towards the back. That'll help me. Society today, and in days gone by, says that everybody needs time for themselves. They need time off. They need a time to release. We now have adult men who play video games by the hour, but call it family time because they can see everybody from their computer screen. People have games on their phones and play instead of work. We've replaced God with a computer screen or with a phone. What has happened to our time with God? Let me ask you a question. Do you spend more time playing than you do walking with God? Anything other than work and your family that you spend more time doing than time with God is akin to idolatry. Some of you, I better turn my head so I'm not, you're preaching to me, preacher. Some of you, your phone and your computer is more of a God than the God of heaven. Now you can't say I was looking at you. Again, I'm not talking about work and family. I'm talking about other things. Some of you are on Facebook more than you have your face in this book. Plain and simple. Facebook has become a god to America. Pinterest. I'm not against it. But if you spend more time on it than you do walking with God, something's wrong. Video games. You see, most of those get more of your time than God gets. Sports, TV, the gym gets more regularity and more time than God. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
All right. God says in Psalm 46, verse 1, and also in verse 11, God is our refuge. Oh, my soul, if there's ever a statement in the Bible that ought to encourage you, it ought to be that. God is our refuge. We are to run to him and not to the things of this world when we need a release.
Amen.
Folks, I would rather run to God than run to some stupid video game. I'd rather run to the Word of God than to Facebook any day. By the way, you can look it up. I'm not on Facebook. Our church is not on Facebook. You say, why? I'm going to show this country you can build a church without Facebook.
Amen.
You can't build it without your face in the book.
Good. Come on.
if preachers would spend more time in the Bible and spend more time soul winning, spend more time praying, maybe their churches wouldn't need Facebook.
That's right.
Amen. Everybody doing okay?
All right, hang on. We're just getting started. Aren't you glad I'm not feeling well today? You see, God wants to be our refuge, our protected area, our protector. God is a better refuge than Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. God is a far better refuge than any video game, especially when rock music and violence are now involved. Hang on. I looked it up this week. By the way, I have never played one game on any phone that I own. I'm not saying it's sinful. I just don't do it. A phone is for business, not for playing for me. I just don't play games on that kind of stuff. But listen to this. I looked it up this week. These are the most popular. God is a better refuge than Minecraft, Fortnite, Grand Theft Auto, Rainbow Six Siege, and Red Dead Sea Redemption. Those are the five or six most popular video games in America today. Now, listen to me very carefully. I can prove by the Bible that I know that the average Christian does not use God as their refuge. I can show you from God's own words. Look at Psalm 46 again. Watch this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Look at verse number 2. Therefore, everybody look at me for a second. When the Bible says therefore, you look back before to find out what it's there for. Therefore, because God is our refuge and our strength, watch this. Therefore, will not we fear though the earth be removed. Everybody look at me. We live in a world of fear. Therefore, God is not our refuge. When you live in fear, God is not your refuge. Oh, we have climate change. Notice what the Bible says. Though the earth be removed, watch the next part. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, sounds like climate change. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. We have so many floods. God predicted it. God said you don't have to be afraid of that mess if God is your refuge.
Right. Amen.
Folks, there is not one less or one more drop of water on the face of the earth than there was 7,000 years ago when God created it.
Amen.
Not one. You say, well, we're running out of clean water. If we're not careful, we're going to destroy the environment in 12 years. They said that back in 1976 too. And that was 42 years ago? Carbon emissions are going to put a hole in the ozone. There are holes all over the ozone. Can I tell you something? Carbon emissions means there's more plants. Guess what eats carbon dioxide? Plants. When the plants eat carbon dioxide, guess what they give off? Oxygen. Burn more carbon, baby. Can I tell you something? Christians today live in panic, fear, and depression and worry. Can I tell you why? They don't have God as their refuge.
Right.
They are looking to themselves as refuge. They look to the news for refuge. God help you. They look to Washington, D.C. as refuge. No wonder there's such a mess in our country today. We look to our video games as refuge. I'm going to say it. I love you. I'll show you why these mass murderers are efficient at what they do. Let's go back and look at all the video games they played.
Amen.
Professionals, the FBI, and the police departments will tell you the most dangerous criminals in the world are those that have been brought up killing on video games.
Right.
They have numbed the adrenaline rush. They become excellent marksmen because they have no adrenaline hyping them up. It's just another screen to them.
Amen.
The problem isn't the gun, it's the play.
That's right.
The problem is not training society. A gun never killed anybody. People kill people.
That's right.
I can bring all my guns that I have in my home, lay them up here on the platform. Guess what? Nobody will be hurt by them.
That's right.
Loaded or unloaded.
Amen.
They only become hurtful when somebody picks it up and does what they should not do with it.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
The problem is not the weapon. The problem is the people. It's a sin problem. Now, notice the Bible says, therefore, will not we fear? You do not have to live in fear.
Amen.
Oh, the government's going to go bankrupt. It's already been bankrupt. We're $23 trillion in debt. When it does happen, can I tell you something? The rapture takes place.
Amen.
That is the only way the Antichrist can set up an immediate global economy, is the world has to crash economically. Bring it on, baby. Let her crash. That means we're going up.
Amen.
You see, people today are living in panic, living in worry and stress and fear because God is not their refuge. Say, preacher, aren't you afraid of the LGBTQ sodomite alphabet soup crowd? No. I don't worry about them at all. Aren't you worried about these people that will come and potentially try to bring harm to our church? No. Say why? God is my refuge. God is our refuge. Hey, I fight the devil every day. One of my preacher friends texted me this morning. Found out I had shingles, and he said, we'll just call you Brother Job. He said, you've been working so hard, the devil's attacking you, preacher. I said, it's all right, I'll take it. If it keeps him away from my people, that's all that matters. I'll take it, just bring it on. Let's look at what God has to say about being our refuge. Look at the liquor that flows like a river in America. How's that turning out as a refuge?
Right.
It's a pretty disgusting refuge, isn't it?
Sure.
You go down to Queen Street or King Street and find the old sot laying in his own vomit on the side of the road. Hey, how about that for a refuge?
Yep.
Drugs are misused and taken to where we have people walking around like zombies. Hey, how's that working as a refuge? They're building just down the street, a mile from here, a recovery center for drug addiction. Say, what's that called? New soul winning place. Today I want to show you what God means as being our refuge. Number one, I love this. God is our refuge no matter how bad the problem seems. God is our refuge no matter how bad the problem may seem. Look at verse number two. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Can I tell you something? This old world's been through a lot in the last 7,000 years. There's nothing that our population of the world could do to stop that.
That's right.
Did you know not one person added to or slowed down the sunrise this morning?
That's right.
Did you know not one person in the world can make it rain? Do you know one person in the world can't keep it from raining?
Right.
Did you know that you can't control an earthquake?
Right.
You can't control a tornado? You can't control a flood? Can I tell you something? By the way, listen to this. God is our refuge.
Amen.
But there's climate change. That is the absolute definition of climate.
Right.
Change. Folks, did you ever notice? Okay, I'm old enough. I'm 52 years old. I'm old enough to remember back in the 70s. Any of you that are my age or older remember this. They were talking about, some of you are
Okay. Back in the 70s, they were talking about an impending coming ice age.
Yep.
Y'all, how many of you remember that? All right. You young twits, look around. Keep your hand back up. Yeah. I'm not lying when I say that. They were talking about an ice age. Then in the 90s or 80s, it turned to global warming.
Yep.
Now, because global warming is a farce and everybody knows it, they have to call it climate change. They now add fancy words to it to make you get scared. Oh, there's a polar vortex. Do you know what the polar vortex is? It is the same thing we learned in elementary science in grade school. It is the northerly winds aloft. It's the northern part of the winds aloft that happen in the wintertime in North America. Did you ever notice that in December, they show you all the polar bears at the South Pole that don't have any ice? And oh, the polar bear, it's summertime down there, folks.
That's right.
South of the equator, the seasons are opposite.
Right.
How come they don't show you that in the middle of July?
Mm-hmm.
Al Gore went down there and got 3 ships stuck in the middle of their summertime in the ice. But we have global warming. Don't believe what these kooks tell you.
Right.
Say, what do you believe about the news?
Nothing.
Right. The date. Definitely don't believe the weather prediction. You see, the doomsday climatologists. Oh, the impending doom of the world. Yeah, it's coming to an end, folks. But it'll be at least 1,007 years.
Amen.
The earthquakes. Well, the Bible predicted there would be many, many earthquakes. I've been through a lot of earthquakes. My wife and I were in Southern California for 2 years. I went through 3 earthquakes that were over 6.8, 2 of them over 7.0. That really gives you a different feeling in life, let me tell you. But they happen so much down there, you get used to them. We just sit through there. Okay, what kind is this going to be? Is it, you know, gentle roller? Or is it going to be the herky-jerky one? Or is it going to be the little wave motion? And or is it going to be all 3? When it gets to be all 3, then it gets a little bit more serious. The floods. Oh, we're just having such terrible flooding. Did you know that everybody along the Mississippi River and the Missouri River floods every year? Some years it's more, some years it's less. You'd think man would have enough sense not to build their house so close to the water.
Amen.
I'm sorry. Don't get mad at God because the water comes down the river. People build their house on the beachfront, and then a hurricane rips through, and they call it an act of God. How come God gets blamed for it? Do you know that God didn't do that? It's the devil that controls that. He's the prince and power of the air. Isn't it amazing they don't blame Allah for it? Just Jehovah.
That's right.
I'm having fun right now. You see, no matter how bad the tragedy, God's still God.
Amen.
No matter how bad the devastation, God is still God. I just preached in Peoria, Illinois. A few weeks ago, about a month ago or so, I preached in Illinois. And several years ago, there was a huge tornado that ripped through Washington, Illinois, which is just on the northeast side of Peoria. Matter of fact, the church I preached in, there were 7 people in that church that lost their homes. I stayed at a hotel. I can show you within a couple hundred yards, you could see the damage in all the brand new housing and all the brand new businesses that were put in because the tornado just ripped right through the town. But the pastor showed me the headlines in the newspaper that said, church saved a town. A tornado ripped through on a Sunday morning, and because it's a solid Midwest town and people went to church on Sunday morning, people were at the churches and not their homes, and not at their businesses when the tornado ripped through, or there would have been a lot more casualties. See, it doesn't matter how bad it is, could be a lot worse. Preacher, you got shingles. Yeah, but at least I don't have kidney stones right now.
Amen.
I'm thankful. This might be uncomfortable, but it's not near as bad as kidney stones. Mm-mm. I've had 10 of them puppies. Forget it. I've had enough of those to make my wife a necklace. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Listen to this statement. God does not cause the bad to happen. He's here when the bad happens. God does not cause the bad to happen. He's here when the bad happens. Your financial problem is not God's fault. Death is not God's fault. Bad health is not God's fault. Broken heart is not God's fault. Messed up lives is not God's fault. Can I tell you something? God didn't cause, God did not do any of those things, but God said, I'll be your refuge when those things come. Amen. God did not cause that loved one that you have to die. The Bible says death is a result of sin. For the wages of sin is death. We're all going to face death. My son and daughter will all be coming here. They've had 3 miscarriages. They've lost 3 babies in death. Can I tell you something? It's because both of them are sinners, and so are all the grandparents and everybody before them. We're all sinners. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter how small or how big, how old or how young, death is not a respecter of person. And God doesn't cause the death. Everybody doing okay? Sin causes death. It just proves we're all sinners. The effects of sin causes bad to happen. Say, preacher, you got shingles this morning. Yeah, you know why? Because I'm a sinner like you are. You may get the word that it's cancer, or it's a heart attack, or a stroke, or just plain ugliness, fellas. it may be that you get bad news, but may I say something? God did not cause it. That's the effect of sin.
Amen.
You may get in an accident, and it's going to be the result of sin. Maybe not yours. It could be somebody else's.
Right.
God's justice does not allow him to stop all problems. But he promises to go through those problems with you. He said, I will be your refuge. Folks, I would rather have God as my refuge than any stinking bottle of booze any day.
Amen.
I'd rather have God as my refuge than a video game.
Amen.
I'd rather have God as my refuge than some opinion post on a computer screen somewhere.
Amen.
I'd rather have God as my refuge than Hollywood any day.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? So, God is our refuge no matter how bad the problem seems. Number 2, I love this. God is our strength. God is our strength. Look at verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Look at verse number 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. He said, I'll be your refuge, but I'll also be your strength. I'll be honest with you. In my own strength, I really didn't want to be here today. But can I tell you something? Somebody back up. Is that you, Brother Dorsey? I'm not going any farther with that one. The word refuge is a very interesting word. It means protected area. It means sheltered or safe place. It means place of protection for those misplaced or abused people. Now look at me. Can I tell you something? God is not only your refuge, but while he is your refuge, he will give you strength.
Yes, sir.
He will give you strength. I pulled onto the property about 5 this morning. And I opened up this book. And I said, God, I need you. God, I'm not sure I can do it in my power, but I'm sure I can do it in your power. God, I'm not sure that I've got the strength to make it, but I happen to believe you'll give me what I need to make it.
Amen.
Guess what? We're making it.
Amen.
I'm not feeling a thing right now. As soon as it's over, I'm going to crash, but it's all right. You see, God is your strength. Say, how do we get God's strength? Well, God's strength comes through the Word of God. The Word of God is my strength. Can I tell you something? Most of you aren't strong because you have none of His words in your heart and in your mind. Can I tell you something? You ought to live in the Word of God.
Amen.
You ought to run to the Word of God.
Right.
You ought to learn how to live the Word of God. May I say this? Please don't take this as arrogant. Not only is God's strength through His Word, but it's also through His man who preaches His Word.
Amen.
I am not trying to lift myself up. I'll magnify mine office, but not me. But I promise you one thing. You come here, we're going to feed you. This preacher will love you. This preacher will do everything in his power to help heal you and strengthen you and give you what you need. Hey, I'm not here to preach some pretty sermon and talk over your head and show you how intelligent or unintelligent I am. I am here begging God to meet your needs so you can make it another week.
Amen.
Our church is a hospital, not a museum. This is a place where we come to get help. If you can't use the sermon, what good was it? I am so tired of intellectual preachers that think they impress you by, we're going to have a talk about God. Lord have mercy. Who's ever got the little beep beep's got to turn it off for me? Oh, is it Fred's? Oh, it's his machine? Gotcha. Gotcha. Don't turn that off. Don't turn his machine off. It's all right. Gotcha. It's just letting him know that he's not breathing on it at the moment because he's not there. Don't worry. He didn't die. All right? He too ornery to die. Now listen to me. Can I tell you something? When you need help, don't be afraid to call God's man. Sorry, that's funny. It's as annoying as Fred. No. Can I tell you something? As bad as I hate the fact that you have to go through the valley of the shadow of death at times, I want you to know you can call the preacher.
Amen.
Right, Mrs. Diener? I know sometimes that you're going to be at the hospital, right, Wally and others? I know when you're going to get bad news. Amen, Brother Bob? Remember the day Sandy called me and said, "Preacher, Bob died, but they got him back. He had a heart attack." Who? Where's he at? Well, he's in Winchester. I'll be there. He's too ornery to stay down too long, but hey, that's what I'm here for. I'm there to try to encourage, try to pick up. I'm there when the heart's broken because somebody's broken your heart. I'm there when some of your children get in trouble. Maybe break your heart. Say why? Because that's what I'm supposed to be here for. I'm to be your encouragement. I'm not here to be your mental stimulation in life. Bless God, you want mental stimulation? Let somebody beat you in the head with a ball bat. But if you want a man of God that's going to give you the Word of God, just come on in. Now, it's like military chow. We're going to flop it on the plate. You might not like it, but just choke it down. It'll be all right.
Amen.
Can I tell you something else? Not only is His Word our strength, not only is the man of God your strength, but watch this. God's house is your strength.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? When I got here this morning, I jumped out of my truck and went, But by the time I got to that front door, I knew what was going to go on today, Brother Dorsey. And I was ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. I got some strength in me. I got the door unlocked and got in and got to my desk and sat down and went, I said, "Lord, I'm here. Now you got to do something. I made it this far. We got to work together today." I started getting stronger. I started getting stronger. Say why? Because I'm here. Now, at 1:30 this morning, I didn't feel like it. At 3 o'clock this morning, I didn't feel like it. But his house brings strength. The fellowship of God's people. There's nothing that excites me more than to hear how loud you all are at times when before church or after church. Man, just all the talking and the laughing and the carrying on and the foolishness, all that mess. I love it. I love it. I love it every service. I have to turn the lights out to get people out of the church. I'm at the point now where I lock everything up and say, okay, just turn the lights out on your way. I got to go. I love it. Say, what is that? People getting strength from God's house. You don't get that at work. That's where they suck it out of you. This ought to be a place where it's putting back into you, not sucking it out of you. Mrs. Lopez this morning. 6:30 this morning, she showed up. She said, preacher, just can't wait to get on the bus. Brought me some coffee. She said, we're going to have a good day, preacher. She said, I was on vacation. Man, I missed my kids. Well, bless God, she had a good day today. I'm glad everybody came, but I was more glad she was getting strength from doing her bus route. So you got to be a little half nuts to do that. No, she's 3/4. But I'll take it any day. I'll take it any day. Say why? Because it gives you strength. The world says run and shut down when problems come. God says bear the load. You don't get strength by shutting down. You get strength by pushing through. You don't get strong by going to the gym and sitting on the couch watching everybody work out. Say, well, I worked out. I ate my dinner. Some of you, that's the heaviest thing you've ever lifted. You don't get strength by doing nothing.
That's right. Amen.
I had a man ask me. I had a young man ask me this week. He's an assistant in another church in a distant state. Won't tell you who or where. He said, preacher, he said, man, they didn't tell us in college that we'd have to work more than 40 hours a week. He said, I put 48 hours in last week. I said, aw. He said, I did that in 3 days. He said, what? I said, I did that in 3 days. I said, son, I've been in bed past 5 o'clock, but twice in the last 6 weeks. He said, oh. I said, son, I have kids older than you. I said, you going to let an old man outwork you? I said, the devil's crowd, the successful devil's crowd will work harder than you work. I said, I'm not about to let somebody making money work harder than the man of God. I'm not about to let some sports jerk put more time, more effort into being a hero than I will to doing the work of God. I put a lot of hours in. I work hard. I have to work twice as hard to get half as far. But it's all right. Aren't you glad you don't pay by the hour? I wouldn't take it anyway. Can I tell you something? My wife will tell you, I've averaged 75, 80, 85, 90 hours a week for 30 years. I did a 3-month stint of averaging 110 hours a week while I had 3 kids at home. I'm not afraid of hard work. By the way, look around, look how many men are in our church. Say why? Because they understand what hard work means.
Amen.
They know they can grab the preacher's hand and he's put just about as many or more hours in than they have this week. Say why? Because I feel like if we expect you to work hard, I ought to work harder. Everybody doing okay? Now hang in there. The world says run and shut down. My doctor was preaching at me yesterday. You need to slow down a little bit. I said, come on, Doc. I said, I'm fine. I said, I'll slow down a little bit. I only have this, 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 and this, and this to do today. She didn't like that very well. Well, you need to administrate some of that out. I said, help's on the way, don't worry, but I got to get through it. The world says shut down. God says bear the load. Amen. I realize I can't abuse my body. I realize I got to slow it down just a little bit. It's not 25 anymore. It's that plus. Times two plus. Now, wait a minute. Shut up, Donnie. You're older than me. But I promise you one thing. God is my strength. God is my strength. God is not there to keep you from the storm. God is to be there to go through the storm with you.
Amen.
You go through the Bible. God did not keep the bad times from the great men and great people of the Bible. He went through the bad times with those people.
Amen.
You don't get strong by sitting on your blessed assurance. You get strong by walking in the light.
Amen.
You don't get strong sitting on the promises. You get strong doing the work of the Lord. By the way, that's what I told that young man this week. It's called the work of the Lord.
Amen.
And I kind of chewed on him for a second and said, son, if you don't put more hours in than the men that are in your church, no wonder you can't reach men. I said, you called me for advice. I didn't call you. You see, God is not there to keep you from the storm. He is there to be a safe place when the storm comes. And I'll finish with this. Number three, what kind of refuge or from what attacks does God protect us? I do not have time to turn to all these verses. I'll list them, give you a principle about it or two, and then I'm going to run. But if you want to write these verses down and visit them later, you may. God is a refuge to the oppressed. Psalm 9, verse number 9. God says that he would be a refuge to those who are oppressed. The word oppressed means crushed or afflicted. When your heart is broken, you're oppressed. When your heart's been crushed, you've been afflicted. You are oppressed. God said, when your heart's breaking, I will be your refuge. Mrs. Diener, a couple weeks ago when your great-grandbaby went to heaven, you're crushed. But God's a refuge. Whew. A very present help in time of need. God is our refuge when we are oppressed. God is a refuge to those who help the poor. Psalm 14, verse number 6. Did you know when you help someone else, God will be your refuge? God says to those who are in need, those who help those who are in need, I will be your refuge. It didn't say to the ones that were in need. It said to those who are helping those in need. I get strength when I help people. I tell people all the time, don't back off if the preacher's down a little bit or sick a little bit. Bring it on. It brings me strength. Don't back off. Well, I don't want to bother the preacher. He's not feeling well right now. That's what's going to get me feeling better. I don't take the world's view of I got to take 3 weeks off to feel better. I got to take on three more problems to feel better. Because it's what gives me the strength to get through it. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. Psalm 48 verse number 3 says that he is a refuge to leaders. It says to those that are in the palace. Those are the leaders. Did you know if you lead, you have a lot of problems? Jamie, I'm sorry you have to lead Scott like that. I mean, I know you got lots of problems. You said amen at the wrong time. He was looking at me as he said it like, ugh. You see, the palace is where the leadership lived and worked. And when you're a leader, you have lots of problems to solve. That's part of your job. Kind of laugh when men move up in leadership and then they say, I'm tired of all these problems. That's why you took the job. Well, I took it to have the position. Well, there's responsibility that goes with the position. You have the kids, you got to feed them. You got to discipline them. You got to love them, and you got to do the other part. It's just not all fun and games. Then they turn into teenagers, and you wonder what creature they turned into. You know, they hit about sixth or seventh grade, and their brain rolls out their ear for a while. And it takes them about 4 or 5 years to find that thing, but when they finally do find it, most of the time they do find it. So, God is a refuge to those who lead. I love this. Next, God is a refuge to those in calamity or in calamity. Psalm 57, verse number 1. The word calamity means event causing sudden and great change or distress, disaster, or tragedy. When the news comes that it's cancer, it doesn't come slowly, it comes quick. When the word comes that somebody was killed in a car accident or another type of accident, you're not ready for it. It just happens. Can I tell you something? That's a calamity. I deal with a lot of calamity. My wife will tell you I do pretty good under pressure. If you've ever seen me at the hospital when things are going on, I'm pretty calm. I've seen about all the tragedy you can see. I've had to take the body of a little one out of a mama's arms and give it to go to the morgue. I've had to walk in to a young man who was in a car accident, been married 2 weeks. His wife brought him in by ambulance in a car accident, sitting with her in a waiting room, and the doctor come out and said, "We can't save him, he's gone." She walked in a new bride and came out a widow. I've been there. Been there when a little 3 or 4 year old having an open heart surgery didn't make it on the table and the doctor asked me to tell the family. I've been through a lot of those. You never get used to it. But God is my refuge. God is a refuge to while we go through those calamities. Can I tell you something? It's going to happen in our church. And the bigger our church gets, the more of it will happen. It just seems like there's so many problems in the world. Folks, I said this the other night. Think Wednesday night. Do you realize how many more people there are in America than there were when you were born? Think through that for a second. My dad wasn't here Wednesday night. He had a tooth pulled. When my dad was born in 1939, there were 138.9 million people in America. There are 350 million people in America today. The population is more than doubled. Almost 130-140% more people in the world today than when he was born. Don't you think with that much more population increase, you're going to have more problems?
Right.
Well, it just wasn't this bad then. Yeah, there weren't as many people. Right. Weren't as many cars. Some of you didn't even have indoor plumbing. Many didn't have a telephone, or there was one in the neighborhood, and everybody, or he had a party line. How many of y'all remember the old party lines? Listen to everybody's conversation. Say, what was that? We lived in a simpler time because there were fewer people. Don't get mad because there's more of it. There's more people. Percentage-wise, it's probably about the same. So God is a refuge in calamity. Next, God is a refuge in the day of trouble. Psalm 59, verse 16. God says, I will be a refuge in the day of trouble. God, in verse 46, chapter 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When you're facing troubles in life and problems in life, God said he would be your refuge. When you're on the golf course and miss that shot, you don't have to throw the club into the pond. Yeah. You don't have to wrap it around your partner's neck. Amen, Brother Larry. I went to meddling on that one, didn't I? Now, wait a minute. In the day of trouble, I've got to hurry. Number next, God is my refuge when I'm under attack. Psalm 94, verse 22. When somebody is attacking you, God said he would be your refuge. Folks, I have lived under attack for a long time. You preach like I preach and preach the truth long enough, you're going to be under attack. Can I tell you something? It's all right. I've taken it before. I've had my name splashed in the Chicago Times and Chicago Tribune and you name it. Our church got smeared all over Chicago because we baptized people. The headline was, church makes little boys and girls go into the church and take all their clothes off in front of everybody because we baptized people. Have your name spread all over the city of Chicago like that once. Been there. God is a refuge from the storms of life. Isaiah chapter 25, verse number 4. When the storms of life come, God is our refuge. Lastly, God is a refuge in the day of affliction. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse number 1. The word affliction there means adding heat, physical infirmity, i.e., shingles. God is a refuge. You know, I didn't blame God for this. I just said, I'm a sinner. Just proves I'm a sinner. Proves I'm human. I could have done that without this, but you see, God wants to be our refuge. Oh, so many more things to say, but let me finish. Let me say, just because you've been saved doesn't mean all your problems go away. If a preacher gets up and says, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away, mark it down, they're a heretic. Jesus is not some Aladdin's lamp that you get saved and you're of the lamp and God pops out and says, what can I give you? And I give you whatever you want. He's not the genie in the bottle. He is there to regene you, regenerate you, and give you eternal genetics so that you don't face the penalty for your sin. But guess what? You didn't lose your old nature. You're going to face the consequences of your sin. You see, the problems don't come from God. The problems come as a result of sin. Don't run away from him, run to him. Don't run away from the word of God, run to the word of God. Don't run away from the house of God, run to the house of God. Someone recently visited our church and I got a very kind email from them, telling about how warm and friendly the church was. And when it starts like that, I always kind of, something's coming. And they said, but not what we're looking for. We would like to see this, and we would like to see this. And I was very kind, and I said, I hope you find what you're looking for. But just know the doors are always open. I didn't preach a sermon at them. How about we look for what God wants instead of what we want? When I was a kid, I wanted candy and donuts and cake and pie all the time. Who wanted vegetables? You know, cherry pie versus asparagus, give me the cherry pie, amen? Donuts versus green beans, there's no competition. Give me the donut. When you're a kid, y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you adults need to learn that too. But can I tell you something? It wasn't what I wanted, it's what I needed. Just because you want something doesn't mean it's right. Sometimes you got to pick what you need over what you want. Financially, we'd be in a whole lot better shape if we just got what we needed, not what we wanted.
Amen.
I'm done. God said he's our refuge. He's our strength. Can tell you something? God makes a better refuge and God gives better strength than anything the world has to offer. Anything. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Bear with me for just a moment. Who'd say, preacher? I'll be honest with you. If I die today, I know 100% sure, I am positive that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I would never embarrass you, I'd never call you by name, never call you out. But is there one that would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. I won't come to you, I won't bother you. I'd just like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores of hands. That's right. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand a moment ago saying there was something I need in that sermon, how about you come to this old-fashioned altar and kneel for a moment or stand here and pray and get from God what you need? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm talking about trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone to take you to heaven. How about you come and we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're saved. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, we'd love to have you today. You come as well.